Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, my guest on the show today says that it doesn't matter who wins the elections in the United States. He says that Biden equals Trump, Trump equals Biden, you get the same thing. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Well, get ready for a hot under your collar show where I imagine I'm going to be arguing with my guest today. Feel free to call in and join in the fray, whether you agree or disagree with him. We want to hear from you. You can agree with him. You can agree with me, because I think it does make a difference who wins. But, you know, my guest is extremely intelligent, and he has changed my mind before, so we will see what happens here. But I invite you to join us on there as well to weigh in on the issue. Who's going to win? Does it matter? Again, he says it's the same thing. I imagine he's going to say it's the same swamp and the same swamp creatures. I don't agree. But, you know, I could be wrong, and I'm always open to hearing other people's opinions. Well, usually so. An interesting title today that goes in with the show, by the way. I've seen this on Arut Sheva, the Gulf nations, and I'm talking about the Arab nations in the Gulf of the Persian Gulf. They are worried about Biden, and they're seeking Israel's help. Their co-line here is, will the Gulf turn to Israel as its top partner to face the Iranian threat if a new White House leads to a change in policy? And I believe that there's going to be a huge difference in foreign policy by whichever Trump or Biden gets in, whichever candidate. But I think that my guest is going to disagree, and he's going to tell us why. So remember, you can call into the show. The numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And join us in the chat room. You can weigh in there as well and meet a whole bunch of nice people from all over the world. Hi, David and Motek and other guests that are in the room there. You can even sign in anonymously if you're shy. So don't be afraid. Join us in the chat room. It's the red button on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Right, so we are still waiting for the official announcement of who won the election. I know that the press, the mainstream media, has already decided that it is Joe Biden. They're already calling him president-elect. However, the Trump campaign is still fighting this, and there has been no official announcement yet. But my guest on the show today says it doesn't matter who wins. Biden equals Trump. Trump equals Biden. So as I said, get ready for a hot under the collar show where I imagine I'll be arguing with my guest today. And our guest is Professor Francisco Gil White. He's a political anthropologist and professor at Etam University in Mexico City. He is also known for his extensive research, which examines what's driving world politics, movements, and agendas. And you can check out his website at www.hearhome.com. That's spelled H-I-R, home, for historical and investigative research. And before I even attempt to go and argue with my guest, I must say he is brilliant and it will be a challenge. Welcome to the show, Francisco Gilwhite.
Thank you for having me, Tamar.
All right.
Be so sure that you won't agree with me, you know? Come to this with an open mind.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'll do my best. All right. But we will both give our own side. So why do you say, I mean, everybody is waiting. They want closure in the elections either way. I don't know how the other side's going to take it. I imagine whoever wins, the other side may get violent. But you're saying it doesn't even matter. So present that case, please, to our listeners.
Well, when I say it doesn't matter, I don't mean that whoever's declared president or that the process is devoid of meaning. I am not trying to say that. What I really mean is that there's only one real party in the United States, and that is U.S. intelligence. So, we've mentioned this before in your show, but it's worth going over it again because it's difficult to really develop this alternative view of the world. In 1947, a law was passed in the United States, approved by the U.S. Congress, that's called the National Security Law, 1947. The National Security Act, forgive me. The National Security Act, among other things, created the CIA, and it established in Title V of the Act that U.S. intelligence may initiate at any time, without asking anybody's permission, whatever action they want. They may also postpone the report of any such activity indefinitely, because in order to do that, in order to postpone indefinitely a report, all they have to do is to say that making the report would damage the national security of the United States. And they get to make that determination. So obviously, if there's something they don't want to talk about, even to the congressional intelligence committees, which are the only ones who would hear about it anyway, it's just a handful of people. But if they want even that handful of people not to hear about it, then they can just, you know, issue a memo saying, you know, this information must remain classified because otherwise it would harm the national security of the United States. All right, so what does this mean? This means that essentially U.S. intelligence from 1947 onwards was given absolute power. Of course, this is absolute power within the limits of the U.S. intelligence budget. But it turns out that that budget is a state secret. And therefore, for practical purposes, they have almost unlimited money because they're drawing on the U.S. Treasury, which is the wealthiest corporation in the world. So that means that U.S. intelligence has gigantic sums of money at the ready for them to do whatever they want in secret, whenever they want, without asking anybody. What kind of stuff can you do with this kind of power? Well, one of the things you can do, as was discovered in the 1976 Church Committee hearings in the Senate, this was Senator Frank Church who got all of this going. Most people don't even know this happened now, or those who did know don't remember it. But what happened in the mid-70s is that congressional investigations sort of popped the lid on what the CIA had been doing. Among other things, they found out that the U.S. military had been conducting large-scale biowarfare experiments on the U.S. population. Much of this happened in California. So biological agents developed by the Pentagon were sprayed on the U.S. population without their knowledge. And this was it was something like hundreds of experiments that were done in the 1950s and the 1960s. That's just, you know, as a detail for your audience to know. That
are you talking about chemtrails?
No, no, I'm not talking about chemtrails. I'm talking about releasing biological warfare agents, in other words, microbes developed by the Pentagon on the U.S. population.
Okay,
this is one of the things that was documented in the Church Committee hearings, and I share it because it's of obvious relevance to our present moment.
Okay, but I have to ask you this question, because somebody runs or gives the orders, makes the decisions of, you know, at the top of the pyramid of this of the intelligence agencies that you're talking about, the NSA, the CIA. So who is that? I mean, that's where the buck stops, no? Whoever makes the decisions.
Sure, but this is not very relevant information.
Obviously, why?
Obviously, there is someone at the top. But my point is, it's never going to be just one person, obviously. There's a syndicate. There's a group of people who control this. And in addition, it was found in the same Church Committee hearings in the U.S. Senate that U.S. intelligence had been corrupting essentially the entire media infrastructure of the United States. Now, if you have the kind of power we are discussing, and you can, so much power that you can release biowarfare agents on the U.S. population without their knowledge, so much power that you can corrupt the entire U.S. media, well, then obviously you can also corrupt the political parties. And of course, you'd want to do that if you were running U.S. intelligence, because the last thing you want is for the party to end. So if you want to continue having that kind of power, you need to be in control of both parties so that whoever takes power is really on your payroll. Okay? So from that point onward, according to my model, there hasn't been anything like a real democracy in the United States. What you have is essentially a single party state with two brands that are put out in public for people to consume, to develop an identity around, to be a team with, and to vote for, so that you will feel as though you are participating in a democracy, which is, of course, necessary for these guys to stay in power, right? They need ordinary Americans to think that they're living in a democracy and to feel invested in the process. So when I say that it doesn't really matter who wins, either Biden or Trump, this is what I mean. I'm saying that they're really working for the same team. They're just pretending to be rivals.
Okay, I'm going to stop you here, if I may, because we're coming to the end of the segment. All right, and I just want to recap on what you're saying. So basically, you're saying, and I've said this before also, because I learned about this, that basically you've got the same puppeteer who's controlling both parties. The people down below feel that they're getting democracy, that they're getting their will because they're voting for candidate A or B, but the puppeteer really is controlling both A and B. And am I right so far?
Yeah, this
okay.
is correct.
All right. But I would concur that, not concur, I would put on the table here that, number one, I believe this to be true, Republican and Democrat, because they're from the same swamp. However, I believe that Donald Trump is different, not being in that swamp, and I'm sure that you're going to argue with me about that, and I will let you. And also, if they're the same, why would there be such an extent of trying to cheat and have dead people voting? And I mean, if they're basically the same and the puppeteer doesn't really care who wins A or B because he controls A and B anyway, why would they go to such an extent to have dead people vote to cheat with machines, to not have people there to watch how the ballots are counted. It wouldn't matter. And the people would get whichever candidate they get, and they go home nicely. And also, I still don't understand who's making the decisions. You say that there's a syndicate, but it matters who the person or the syndicate is, because that's the direction the decisions are going to be made. If there are people who lean to this direction or lean to that direction, it's going to go that direction. I still don't know who these people are. So maybe you can talk about that in the next segment. We're going to be back, everybody. And wow, this is going to be a real interesting show. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Our guest is Dr. Francisco Gil White, and his website is www.hirhome.com for historical and investigative research. Before the end of the last segment, I threw a slew of questions at our guests, so take it from there, Francisco Gil White.
All right, just to make sure I got this right, so you're asking me, well, if U.S. intelligence is running the whole show and the Democratic and Republican parties are really the same party and therefore Biden is Trump and Trump is Biden, why would anybody go to the trouble of trying to commit fraud, right? That's one of the questions. Or you could flip it.
I'm losing you. Can you speak up a little bit closer to your microphone?
Well, I'm speaking right into the microphone.
Okay. All right. So we'll see if we can do something here. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll start again. So can you hear me now?
I hear you.
Okay, so the question is, if U.S. intelligence is running the whole show and therefore both big parties, and Trump is Biden and Biden is Trump, then why would anybody want to go to the trouble of committing fraud? Right? Or you could turn this around, because a lot of people don't believe there is fraud on the other side of the political divide. So you could ask it this way: why go to the trouble, if you're Trump, of pretending that there is fraud and making such a stink about it, right? If both candidates are controlled by the same clandestine intelligence infrastructure. And you also asked me who are the people making these calls, right? Who are the people making these decisions at the top of the intelligence infrastructure, if this is the right model of the U.S.? And you're interested in knowing who they are because you want to know in which direction they might want to take the system. Well, I think these questions are actually interrelated. But the first thing that it's important to understand, that this is something that people who do conspiracy theory often forget, is that in a democracy, any kind of conspiracy that you could mount requires that you use the energy of lots of innocent people. So the overwhelming majority of the people who work for any number of bureaucracies that are being employed to get particular state-level result don't really understand what they're doing. So it's not the case that everybody in the Republican Party is in on this joke. Obviously not. Nor is it the case that everybody in the Democratic Party is in on the joke. Obviously not. The great majority of these people who militate within these parties, who work hard and register to vote and go make up signs and rallies and all this stuff, all of those people are innocent people. They're part of the formal structure of the party. They're still innocent. They don't know anything. Only a handful of people at the top are the people who can know anything, obviously, in this kind of a structure. So you could still have a lot of people who are innocent about the nature of the system, but who are dishonest and want to commit fraud because they want their side to win. So that could still happen. And that wouldn't matter to the people who run the system. They're perfectly happy to see ordinary, innocent people use their energies in all kinds of different ways as they participate in the political process, because that's what the simulation is for. It's to make them want to be engaged, to make them believe that they're in a democracy, right? So that's one answer to your question. The other answer is that they are using this controlled structure to divide Americans. They've been doing it for a long time. So why do they want to divide Americans? Well, they want to divide Americans because the end goal of the controllers is a totalitarian state. And the way you get a totalitarian state is by breaking down society to the point where ordinary people will ask for a dictatorship to solve the chaos that their lives have become. But for you to get there, you first have to give them chaos. You have to destroy their family ties. You have to destroy their neighborhoods. You have to break them up into balkanized tribes that are fighting each other. And you have to make them very scared that the entire social system is going to collapse. So first you have to do that. And how are they doing that? Well, they're doing that in several different ways, but one very important way in which they're doing that, which we can see in the streets of the United States, in several cities in the United States, is they are producing, on the one hand, a radical left, which is violent and is getting people on the radical right more and more upset and helping the radical right recruit more people to their movements. And these two extremes are feeding on each other and they're eating up the space in between. So the more that happens, the closer the United States gets to a civil war, and the closer you get to a civil war, the easier it's going to be to impose a dictatorship. So why do you need the fraud allegations, at least, whether or not there is fraud? You need the fraud allegations because that convinces one half of the country, because they've been very good at splitting the U.S. right down the middle. You've got 50% voting for Biden, 50% voting for Trump. It's really quite remarkable. And it's been this way for a while. So the fraud allegations will convince half of the United States, and you're seeing it already in the polls, something like 80% of Republicans believe there has been fraud. So you're going to convince half of the country that there's been fraud, and that's a recipe for disaster, because they will not think that Biden, who is obviously going to be the next president, is a legitimate president. And that will fuel recruitment in the extreme right. And that recruitment in the extreme right will fuel the recruitment to the radical left on the other side. And this is what they want.
Okay, but I have a question. If the puppeteer already calls the shots for candidate A and B, he already owns them, and which means that he's the head and the people think they've got democracy, they think that they're getting their candidates, but you are the one who is running everything. Why does he then want to make chaos if he's already running the show and there's peace and the people are listening to him? Everything's going on as usual.
Well, because if you allow the system in a system that is a relatively good simulation of a democracy, which is what they have. You have to allow quite a few freedoms. You have to, because if you don't, people realize they're not in a democracy. So the rules of the game in a simulation require considerable freedom of association, considerable freedom of speech, considerable freedom of organization, of publication, and so forth. And those freedoms, from the perspective of the people running the system, can get out of hand. In other words, it's possible for movements to emerge that will remove them from power. So the way to make it stable for them is to move the system towards frank totalitarianism. What we have right now is sloppy totalitarianism. In other words, there's an enormous amount of clandestine control going on, but that control has to be inconspicuous. And at the same time, because you are maintaining the facade of a democracy, an enormous amount of stuff that is consistent with a democracy needs to be seen to operate, or people will realize that they're not in a democracy, right? So it is those freedoms that are part of the theater of a democracy that they would now want to make disappear, so that they can move towards frank totalitarianism, where they can be more secure in the stability of their power.
Okay, so I have to insert here that I think they're taking a huge chance when they're already running the show. So what if the people have their freedoms to do this or that? You don't care because you're still running the show. And if you go to a civil war, you're taking the risk that it's not going to go your way, that it's going to go in the way where things are going to be broken up even further, where you might have states seceding from the nation, California, Oregon, Washington, New York, New Jersey, all the places that are going to be more progressive, as opposed to the more conservative states. You might have a complete breakup and then go try and regain control of the United States of America.
Yes. You are right. They are taking some risks, but these are risks that they believe are worth the effort. So, of course, you're right. They're taking some risks, but everything they do is risky. If they don't move us towards a totalitarian system, towards a frankly totalitarian system, they're taking the risk that emergent sort of popular, genuinely democratic movements may sooner or later remove them from power. So it's not like they can avoid risk. Whatever they do, they're taking some risk.
But you see, that's what I think is happening now, that they're losing power because you've got Trump in there, someone who's not from the swamp, not intimidated, doesn't care about that people like him or don't like him, doesn't care. He does what he thinks is good for America. That's what he says. And I kind of have to believe him on some level because he's been doing things that are good for America, and he's been helping Israel, doing wonderful things for Israel. And they say those who bless Israel will be blessed, those who curse Israel will be cursed. And I don't know. I just still don't see things in your wavelength, but we have to go to a break. Hang on. We're going to a break. When we get back, you can rebuttal me. I'll give you the microphone again. We'll be right back.
Hello.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and our guest is Professor Francisco Gil White from HearHome.com. We will link to his website on the page where the show is podcasted. So, Professor Francisco Gil White, take it away.
All right. So you were telling me that you think Trump is wonderful and that he's doing wonderful things for Israel and that he's opposing himself to the swamp that controls the U.S. and so forth. Well, if you accept this self-representation of Trump, in my view, you're not quite grasping the show. So obviously, they need to produce candidates on one side and on the other who appear to be antagonists. And every once in a while, they need a candidate who seems like an opponent of the entire system, because that's what a substantial portion of the public wants. And if that portion of the public can see that they can get that guy elected, they believe in the system again. This is how it works. So in my view, you're being taken in by the show. Remember, Trump is a reality show star. That's what he is. He was a reality show star for years before he became president. The guy is a fantastic actor.
So you're saying that same people who run the intelligence organizations and are running the swamp are running him as well?
Absolutely. Trump, on Here Home, I have a number of articles on Trump. You can go read there about his career. He's a lifelong Democrat who suddenly became a Republican. The last time that he ran for president, he was defending Mexicans. And then in 2016, he was attacking Mexicans. Flipped. All of his positions flipped. Why? Because he's an actor. He does whatever's on the script. And so right now, he's acting as the upset president that believes fraud was committed against him and so on and so forth. And that's useful to mobilize the crazies on the extreme right. And that's what they want. They want a bunch of people on the extreme right extremely pissed off, because what they want them pissed off for the next 4 years, because what they're building on the right is this resentment that will now clash with the ever more strongly with the crazies on the extreme left, who are pushing this ridiculous woke ideology that is, in fact, a form of racism against whites. And that racism against whites that the extreme left is promoting will only produce more paranoia on the extreme right. And the two movements will feed on each other until it produces something close to a civil war, which is, in fact, already happening. This is not really prediction. This is description. We've got daily riots in several U.S. cities already. Okay, so they're already doing this. This is not really a projection into the future. I'm describing what they're doing. And the more that happens, the more people will get afraid. Justifiably afraid, because civil war is an extremely scary thing, and nobody benefits from it. And as soon as enough people are scared, sufficiently scared, they will ask for totalitarianism as a deliverance. And you're already seeing this. You were mentioning this to me at the before we started the show. You were mentioning to me the draconian measures, reminiscent of the Soviet Union, that the state of California is instituting, where this convenient virus is allowing them to say, oh, we can't allow you to have, you know, so many people in your home. And if you see your neighbors doing it, report them to the police, right? So they're turning everybody into a spy of their own neighbors, as they used to do in the Soviet Union. Well, guess what? The Soviet Union was a totalitarian state.
Okay, but Trump is actually saying no lockdowns. Go have dinner, Thanksgiving dinner with your families or whoever you like. He's doing it himself. He could also say, well, this is one thing that we agree on, that we have to have our health first, and everybody has to, you know, go by the rules of the coronavirus lockdowns. I mean, that's an easy way. And if Trump is also putting his stamp of approval on it, then half the population might go for it, the other half.
Right. But in my model, Trump is doing that because they need him to be the brand on the right. And the brand on the right is, of course, opposed to lockdowns. And so the people who get very scared by lockdowns, and I mean really scared by lockdowns, are the people on the extreme right. Those are the people that buy guns and train and form militias for the day when they're going to fight the government. Okay? And this is what they're doing. They're radicalizing people at the extremes so that they can get a good fight going. Because once a good fight gets started, they will have the excuse to clamp down and remove the liberties that Americans got used to enjoying. So, again, this is a reality star that's running the country. He's a reality show star. Everything he does, in my view, is following a script. Now, why is it that they want to take us towards totalitarianism? Because those are their values. I've explained in other shows with you, though we can't get into the details today, but we can do it again in another show, that the people running, the people that I call the U.S. power elite, not all of them necessarily in government positions, of course, but very powerful people who informally control the top of the various bureaucracies that control the state. These people, before World War II, were eugenicists. And eugenics is the very movement that produced German Nazism. Eugenics was exported from the United States to Germany and other places. This is all documented with exquisite detail in Edwin Black's War Against the Weak, published in 2003. Very, very important historical work. It's not that what he documented was completely unknown. It wasn't. But he systematized the research and uncovered a lot of stuff that we didn't know about eugenics. And what he found was that the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Institution, Ford, and some other super rich plutocrats in the United States who were completely convinced by eugenics ideology poured millions and millions of dollars into this. And this is the eugenics is the original ideology of Aryan superiority, of this biological superiority of German stock. And of course, it was drenched in anti-Semitism. And all of this was exported to Europe, and in particular to Germany, where it became German Nazism. Now, the people who did this from the very top of the U.S. power structure were never deposed. They were never deposed. So once that sinks in, what they did in the post-war period starts to make a lot of sense. Now, you say Trump is pro-Israel. Well, that would make him exceptional because what earlier presidents have done is organize a very clever process to destroy Israel. And this is very easily demonstrated. It's just that nobody talks about it. But remember, I was fired from the University of Pennsylvania when I documented that PLO Fatah, what they now call the Palestinian Authority, was created by Haj Amin al-Husseini, who was an architect of the German Nazi final solution. He was right there with Eichmann organizing the death camp system that killed between 5 and 6 million Jews. Well, that guy, Husseini, the father of the Palestinian movement after the war, created PLO Fatah, what we now call the Palestinian Authority. Why in the world would he do that? Well, of course, to continue the genocide in Israel. Another thing that I documented is that PLO Fatah, and I didn't need secret documents for this. This was on the front page of the New York Times.
We only have another minute left.
Yeah, sure. In the period 1979 to 1981, this was on the front page of the New York Times. PLO Fatah is the creator of Iran, Khomeini's Iran. Okay, so the very state that promises to commit genocide in Israel is a creation of PLO Fatah. All right, well, the U.S. is the government that got PLO Fatah inside Israel.
Okay, so stop for a minute, because we're almost at the end of the show, and a guest is asking here, so who in the end, who is this cabal that you're saying is controlling everything and making the decisions in the U.S.?
I just answered that question. It's the anti-Semites.
But who?
And Trump. Well, I mean, why do you? I told you the Rockefeller Foundation. I said the Carnegie Institution. I mean, you want to put names and last names on these people?
Yeah.
Why do you need that?
Yes.
Well, it's a very
You need to know who your
names.
Enemy is, don't you? You can't fight an enemy if you don't know who your enemy is.
Fine. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, George Bush.
Okay.
Bill Clinton.
But you just said that they're just puppets of a puppeteer. So who is the puppeteer?
I already said that. The Rockefeller family, etc.
Okay. So the CFR, like the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, sure. Which is Carnegie, Ford, Rockefeller, CFR. Okay. All right. We're going to have to leave it there. I wish we can go on, but the music's going to come on any second. Thank you. Anybody wants to find out more, you can go to his website, www.hearhome.com. That's H-I-R for Historical and Investigative Research. I want to thank you again, Dr. Francisco Gil White, for coming on the show. It's always, always interesting to have you on. You present things that people don't want to hear. It was stimulating and it's eye-opening, and we have to be open to different possibilities. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Tamar. It's always a pleasure.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute. Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.